I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for the Masters, which sounds very nice to say. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Hello, Greg.
Rick, sometimes it feels like all the work we do all year long, every week, 6 days, every week, is all for this moment. Getting the Masters lineup correct. So I'm so excited. I'm so fired up. I, like everybody else, love this golf course. And I can't wait to talk about this this lineup of players.
I would say, Greg, that it feels like a day where things are just lining up.
I see what you did there.
In a very, very nice, a very eclipse level way. Is how they
You saw it? Did you see it?
Yeah, so I saw half. We're West Coast, we got like a half coverage. So it kind of, the moon moved, you know, from right to left over top of it. You could see it. I just poked a pinhole into a piece of aluminum foil, and that was interesting. And then I saw everybody online had better views of it. But yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, that's the way to watch it online. Yeah. You don't want to be the guy saying, I saw the eclipse in 2024, and now I'm blind. You don't want to do that.
Don't want to stare at it. Yeah, that would be it.
But that's behind us now.
Yeah, when's the next one? Oh, I'm already looking forward to the next one.
Will we be alive?
Buddy, I have no idea.
I'm no astrologist, so I couldn't tell you.
Tomorrow isn't promised, so let's talk about today. It is Masters Week, and it's Augusta National. Troy, fire it up. Share my screen. That would be splendid. My website, rickrungood.com. Let's start with the golf course. Augusta National. Greg, it is unique in so many ways. One, because it's the only major championship that we get to see the same course. Two, just because it is unique in its nature. There's always kind of little tweaks, but at the same time, it's the same course. I don't know how they're able to pull that off. But what types of golfers have we seen find success here in the past? And what types of golfers are you expecting to find success here for this year?
Golfers that are very well-rounded, which is so obvious. It's called the Masters because it takes complete mastery of the game. I mean, you look at this golf course and it's the toughest greens to hit on the PGA Tour. It is the most difficult strokes gained around the green golf course on the PGA Tour. And it's the most difficult strokes gained putting golf course that we play in professional golf. So it is extremely challenging in every area of the game. And off the tee, it's quite long. So it really requires a complete test. But since nobody is perfect and nobody has mastered all areas of the game, it tends to lean very heavily towards, I think, ball striking and short game, which is why you see, which is very rare, strokes gained tee to green as the top statistic in that category. Because that covers three areas. And it covers the majority of the game, you know, 75% of the game.
The statistics are jarring. You mentioned a lot of them, just how difficult it is, not only, you know, putting, but also around the greens. But from just the viewpoint, like, why is that? Right. I mean, there's a lot of undulation. There are, you know, kind of quadrants on some of these greens. You have, even though, you know, if they're 5,000 square feet, they play much smaller than that. Like, what is it that actually makes it difficult?
Well, I mean, look at the green at hole number 14. There's no bunkers on that hole. It's a slight dogleg to the left, slightly uphill. Big green with no bunkers, yet it has three tiers from side to side. And depending on that hole location, it can be a near impossible hole, and it can be an extremely scoreable hole. So hole location has so much to do with it, and you have to get your ball in the right position. So you can miss greens because of poor tee shots, not even hitting it behind a tree or hitting it into water or hitting it into, you know, into brush. You can hit it to the wrong side of the fairway and miss the green as a result. You get on the wrong side of these ridges, the ball will roll away. Sometimes it will roll off the green. Sometimes it rolls right very close to the hole. So because they're so rolly, because they're so fast, it becomes quite challenging to get your ball close. You have to be extremely precise.
There's something so simple about it, yet so complex about it, right? It's not tricked up with bunkers. It's not tricked up with, you know, little tiny fairways and thick rough. It's not. It is just contours and contours that will beat your butt, Greg, because that's what they're doing.
And what's really cool about it is there's, like you said, it's not tricked up. There's a way to play every hole. There's a way to attack every hole location. But in order to play it that way, you have to be very disciplined. You have to be very smart. And you have to be sharp on and around the greens. Because like we've talked about this with Tiger. We've talked about this with Rory McIlroy. If you employ or deploy, I don't know which one's correct. Either. But if you utilize a conservative strategy, which has been, you know, talked about a lot as being the way to play Augusta National, you have to be really sharp with your lag putting, which is challenging because of the contours you mentioned. You have to be really really sharp with chip shots that may be in easy locations, but because there's so much speed in those greens, they're not necessarily give me's. So you have to be disciplined, and at the same time, you have to be really sharp. And I think sometimes in order to win, you need a little bit of luck on your side, too.
Yeah, that's certainly true. I was pulling up the weather forecast here, at least the last forecast that I saw. So here's the first couple days of the week. I'm looking at Thursday, Greg. 90% chance of showers and ththunderstorms, windy, an inch and a half of rainfall. Maybe some stuff on Wednesday and overnight. Presumably, at least early in the week, Augusta National will play softer, will play longer. Is this actionable enough to change anything? Is it a little bit more of a lean towards the longer hitters, or is this a nothing burger to you?
Well, I think the winds are a significant factor, right? And the draw is fascinating to me. You use the wind tracker website for weather often, right?
I do, yes.
So I was on there today, and it looks like that rain on Thursday is mostly before 2 o'clock. So like an inch to an inch and a half of rain before 2 o'clock.
Wow.
So with wind gusts that are up to like 38 miles an hour, the gusts, you know, what you have there, 5 to 10 miles an hour, maybe. Oh, that's Tuesday. Thursday, yeah. You have 15 to 20 gusts to 30. Yeah, I saw up to 38. So that could be extremely challenging. But because there's so much rain and because it's going to stop, I wonder if they delay play. Right. Because if they play through it, there's a clear advantage for the late early guys. On Friday, it looks to be a little calmer in the morning and a little more difficult in the afternoon. I think the south winds, the southerly winds, even if they're like south southeast, that general direction is a lot easier than the westerly direction. And, you know, that creates quite an interesting situation. I really think if they play Thursday morning as scheduled, it's a huge advantage for Thursday PM, Friday AM. If it switches, if they delay play and the early late guys play late, right, which they essentially would play late.
Right.
Now the late early guys play all day Friday in a westerly wind, which is much more difficult. I mean, you're talking about holes like 13 and 15 playing at least partially into the wind, where they're crosswinds with the southerly wind. That could make a huge difference. So I do think in general with the softer golf course, it leans towards length. The draw is just fascinating to me.
That was very well thought out, and I have nothing more to add to that. We are going to jump into the pricing. We're going to look at the players, and we are going to continue to talk this out. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Greg, we're back, and we've got five golfers over $10,000. Scottie Scheffler leads the way at $12,100. John Rahm back in action, $11,200. Rory McIlroy at $10,800. Brooks Koepka, $10,200. Wyndham Clark, $10,000. We didn't even really talk about it, but obviously this huge dynamic, Greg, of everybody being in one spot again. You know, we have not had a field where we have had to consider – Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka at the same time this year. We have not had that. So now we are trying to figure out normal decisions and adding in a bunch of other guys that we need to go through.
Yes. Now, this brings up an interesting question. I mean, I know that you have acquired strokes gain data for live events.
Yes.
How much weight do you put into that? How much weight do you give that?
So I will tell you very candidly, the stuff for 2024 is a lot better than the stuff for 2023. They are calculating those in two different ways. The stuff for 2024, so the last five events for live, that all looks very good. There are slight differences in how the PGA Tour and live calculate it, but for 2024, they are rather similar. The only issue that comes into it more on the live side, and I can pull up, John Rahm's profile as we're talking about this, is The bottom of those fields are so weak that you see the top of the fields kind of get more boosts than they should. You know, for like John Rahm has always been a great driver of the golf ball, historically good driver of the golf ball when he was on the PGA Tour. On LIV, it's like maybe like 20% better than that. It's just like a little bit better because the top of those fields are really good. And the bottom is really, really bad. And it creates kind of a wider separation of the strokes game.
So they're based off of a tour average, but off of a LIV tour average.
Correct. Yes.
Right. Right. Yes. So, you know, now you start getting into the, and I'm not comparing abilities by any means here, but we always look at, say, a DP World Tour player who comes over to the PGA Tour. They have strokes gain statistics that look a certain way. Yep. They're affected by the average on that tour. So they're not like. I just think that's important to point out.
Yeah.
But when you get into John Rahm and Brooks Koepka, who are the two LIV players in this bracket, even if they were playing on the PGA Tour, I'm not sure it would matter. That might matter more when you're looking for somebody a little farther down the board. I think we know that these guys are going to show up here at the Masters ready to play and ready to compete. However, I still think that Scottie Scheffler is the man to beat. I still think this is Scottie in the long shots.
So it's so interesting, right? I mean, I've gone through so many different phases of Scottie in the last 2 years. And I am now at the phase of, I don't know how he loses, which is kind of, I mean, I'm only somewhat joking. You know, if I would have said that a year ago, I would have been 99% joking. Now I'm like only like 40% joking.
I'll say this. There's one person in this field who can beat Scottie Scheffler.
What's his name?
Scottie Scheffler.
Greg.
Right. Scottie's game at his, if he plays his best golf, doesn't mean perfect golf. Scottie plays his best golf, he wins by multiple shots. Now, there have been some things that he's had hiccups in the past. He's had his bizarre situations happen. We know what happened at Houston last week in a field that's not the Masters. But what he has done on the greens is night and day. Watching him on, if you were watching Masters on the Range earlier today on CBS Sports Network, him on the putting green is a totally different animal. And what he's done tee to green is the same Scottie, which is unbeatable. So I don't think there's any metric, any way you can look at this and say Scottie's not the guy, unless you think Scottie's going to choke.
But there's not really any evidence of that.
No, maybe last week at Houston.
I mean,
a couple of hiccups.
He missed a 5-footer on 18, the worst part of his game, after stuffing one on 18, best part of his game to even give himself a chance.
Right.
I don't think.
And he made a complete mess of 18 in round two.
Sure. But that's not a choke. Stupid mistake.
Right. Right. But I guess that's what maybe choke's the wrong word. Maybe that's a little too strong. I don't think he's going to fold down the stretch. But, you know, when Scottie beats himself, he does things that are just silly. Like, and I know he was having putting issues, but the thing that held Scottie Scheffler back from winning 8 times last year was putting inside of 5 feet.
Yeah.
You know, that seems kind of silly. It's the tap-ins that are keeping you from winning. Like, tell that to a small child who's just playing the game. They're going to laugh because that should be the easiest part. So now that he's figured this out, I don't think that anybody can beat him if he plays his game, which is very likely that he does.
The other thing is that, you know, Scottie to win at whatever he is, 4-1, will not get my money. But we've talked about this a couple of times. 4-1 does not translate to $12,100. It just doesn't. He should be like $13,500. Something like that would be much more indicative. This is a price
in the outright market, that is the lowest non-Tiger price we've ever seen at the Masters. Yet 12,100 is a price that is fairly routine on DraftKings. So I do think there are differences between those two things.
Yes. And also, if anything, you would think it'd be switched. Like, I'd feel more comfortable if his DraftKings price was higher than those, whatever you call them, projected odds, or you would think that there's more value playing somebody in DraftKings where you can accumulate points and not necessarily win. There's more avenues for him to be valuable to your team in this format. So, I mean, that just makes him lock it up and throw away the key.
Well, you nailed it. And even last week when he did not win, he was part of the best lineup that you could possibly have made, the optimal lineup. And that is because he is able to accumulate so many points, and he is just almost certainly going to be in the mix on Sunday. Might not win. We saw last week how hard it is to win. Things have to go right. They have to get lucky. You have to make zero mistakes. You can still rack up a lot of fantasy points along the way. So Rahm is basically the same player that we saw on the PGA Tour when you start looking at his metrics. Koepka is going through a lot of putting struggles, and I don't know how closely you have been following this, Greg, but he actually has been tinkering with a different putter recently, though I will say that back in Miami last week, he was back to that old faithful, that blade that he's been using. It is still struggling. He lost 3.5 strokes putting in Miami, lost 3.5 strokes putting in Hong Kong. It has not been as sharp since he won on Jeddah at the end of last year, but are we just getting flip the switch major championship level Brooks?
It's a lot more difficult now to know, but I think yes, in general. There's the move to live has the least effect on Brooks Koepka of any of those guys, because his form isn't indicative of his performance in majors. And, you know, I mean, think about 2019. He lost to Tiger by a shot and had 5-3 putts that week. You know, he should have won the 2019 Masters. And I'm not even talking about hitting it in the water at number 12. So, yeah, I think that Brooks is absolutely playable. It's just going to be hard to get him and Scotty in the same lineup.
Yeah, probably impossible. Okay. We've tried to figure out motivations of Scotty and Rahm and Brooks. Let's try one more, Dr. Greg.
Yeah.
You want to get inside the head of Rory McIlroy at the moment?
Well, you know, he was asked what he wants to be in control of at Augusta National, and he kind of chuckled and said myself, which I really like that answer. He understands that when he goes to Augusta National, things happen to him and they're a little different. I have a pretty good feeling about Rory this week. I'm not expecting a miscut. I think Rory will put himself in the mix. But I don't feel like his game is hot right now, but I feel like it's really close. The big numbers have been the issue. Can you come to Augusta National? Can Augusta National be your first tournament without making a double bogey for the year? I mean, that seems like a challenge, but I like what he's done with Butch. I like the work he's done with Butch. I'm comfortable with his putting. I'm comfortable with his short game. There's a lot of things in favor of Rory McIlroy. Just winning is a different story.
On paper, I'm all in on Rory. I loved what I saw at the Texas Open. Gained 7.5 strokes on approach, his best approach week since the 2019 Wells Fargo Championship. We know he's going to drive it well. He does not get enough credit for how good his short game is, the history, like all that fun stuff. But this is not, it's not played in a spreadsheet, right? That we're not just going to click sim and see what the results are. Rory is going to have to tee it up on Thursday.
We've done that before. Congratulations to Webb Simpson.
Yes. Congratulations, Webb Simpson. I think he still owes me part of my, part of the purse for that. He's going to have to tee it up on Thursday, and he's going to have to, you know what I mean? Like, there's just so much that I, as a data guy, will not be able to quantify for this week with Rory.
But no,
I'm happy with the state of his game. I'm happy with it.
I'm right there with you. And on the positive side of the unquantifiable data, what's the effect of Butch Harmon?
Right. You know, does he have like a little Sherpa now? What's the effect on, hey, it rains on Thursday and now he gets to focus, like now there's this other distraction, which is I've got to like slog around in my all brown jumpsuit and do all this stuff as opposed to, oh my God, it's the man. You know what I mean? Like, does he just need a distraction? Does he need a different voice? Is he getting either one of those things? There's a lot here.
Is he on the press conference schedule?
I was just looking at it earlier. He's got to be, right? I mean,
hang on one second here. I have it. I don't know for sure if he is.
All right. I have it right here. So
yes, he is.
Okay. 12:30. Yeah. 12:30 tomorrow.
Okay. Well, so never mind. That's moot, but it does. I have a feeling that it's a little more low key around Rory. There's a lot of interest and intrigue in Scottie Scheffler and the LIV guys coming back.
Yeah.
And Tiger playing. It feels like Rory's, although he's my number one story and likely always will be every time he returns to the Masters for at least the next 5 years. He will be the top story. It feels like he's kind of down the list for the general public.
His last eight majors, he has 7 top 8 finishes. That is insane. Yet we will only remember that none of those culminated in a trophy.
Yeah, they're losses. He's correct. A loser.
Big loser.
If Hideki Matsuyama has that record, everybody is so excited and fired up because it's a good thing. But that's like the baseline for Rory. That's the price you pay for being a star.
The 9K range. Xander Schauffele, Joaquin Neiman, Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay. Then we round it out with Jordan Spieth, Will Zalatoris, Ludwig, and Hideki Matsuyama. This, Greg, is where I really started and said, wow, those extra live guys coming back, like, I almost love everybody from 9K and up, right? Obviously, I have to split hairs, but it's not until that 8K where I start thinking there's a big drop off. These are all great options. We've got to figure out which ones are the best.
You know, I think my favorites here are on the top and the bottom, Xander and Hideki. So I think starting there is a good thing. Now, as we've dropped down to this 9K range, I think this is really important. Unless you're talking about those top four guys, and I'm leaving Wyndham out. Wyndham's more in the 9K range in my mind for this conversation.
Okay.
This is going to get really windy. It is going to be brutally difficult. And while ball striking is typically the most important thing here, when it gets windy like this, there is a really strong emphasis on short game because you are going to miss greens. And I don't think anybody except maybe Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, and Brooks Koepka can hit it through that and kind of take short game out of it. I just don't think that's going to be possible this week. So when I look at Xander and Hideki, they have unbelievable short games and really good ball striking. I mean, unbelievable ball striking too. I think they can, they're in that next level of great hitters of the golf ball, but they have this short game to back it up. And I think that gives them both a real chance to contend in difficult conditions.
The Xander stuff is similar to Rory, where it's like, oh, did he win or did he lose? But not necessarily in major championships, just in all of his events. So it's like, oh, right. T2 at the Players, what a loser. T5 at Valspar, what a loser. T4 at Genesis, loser. Yet he has been one of the best players in 2024. And yeah, his short game is phenomenal and his putter is rock solid. The Hideki stuff, Greg. Hideki has found it. And Hideki's always been splendid. And the thing is, the around the green stats for Hideki are always very good, but if you watch him hit some of these shots, he has them all. I mean, he will lay the face. He's got every single shot. It is so much fun to watch. And then of course it translates to the stats as well.
Yeah. And it feels like he's going to make them.
Yes.
You know, that's what's so cool about it. The tight lies when he's in, it's a chef's kiss. It's just beautiful.
He has never been nervous over a golf shot, or if he has, he doesn't let us know about it. 'Cause he looks so cool while he does it too.
He looks almost upset.
Yeah. Like, oh, I guess I'll have to, you know, hit a little spinner out of here again. Fine.
That was terrible. Yeah. It's a foot away. I was supposed to make it. Do you see the shot, by the way, he hit on Sunday on 12 that went basically halfway down and rimmed out?
No, I saw the one that if it didn't go in, it was going to be about 30 feet over the green.
No, he landed this ball in the... he was 100 yards out or 101 yards out. He hits it. They thought it hit the flag and bounced off the green to the left, but they zoomed in closer and I don't think it hit the flag. I think it did a rim out like it would in basketball, like hit the left side of the cup, the right side of the cup, and out off the green.
Wow. No, I did not see that.
He was pissed. He hit his face. He was stone cold in his face. It was just a laser. You got to check it out.
Well, so Phoenix Open kind of starts this run. He finishes T22 there. He goes insane on Sunday at Riv and wins T12 at API, T6 at the Players, T7 at Valero, all while putting up unbelievable ball striking numbers. I mean, yeah, this is talk about a guy who's trending in the right direction at the right time. That's what Hideki's doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And Genesis is, I mean, the shots into 15 and 16 are the ones that capture your attention. I think that's right. But really most of the birdies on that front nine came from short game, getting up and down on par fives, getting up and down at 10, situations like that. And that's why he gained nearly 6 shots around the green at the Genesis, but then has the ability to hit big shots when he needs it with his ball striking. It's a lethal combo.
Joaquin Neiman is here, Greg. And this is Joaquin Neiman is the first guy where you look at the numbers and you try to figure out what's going on here. Very easy to say John Rahm's going to be John Rahm. Brooks Koepka is going to be Brooks Koepka. Joaquin Neiman statistically is Liv's Scottie Scheffler. He's gaining like 3 strokes to the field per round. It dates back to Australia in November, where he went 5th and 1st and he played well in Dubai. He's won 2 LIV golf events. He's been finishing inside their top 10 constantly, finished 3rd in Oman. That's an Asian tour event. So this is the first guy where you've got to say, okay, how much of this am I taking into consideration?
It's a good question. The good thing is we have course history here.
Yeah.
Which has gotten better every year for him.
It has.
But T16 is his best finish. And I'm very curious about it. I really don't know, because I don't know how to weigh those results. It's 3rd in an Asian tour event. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for a player that's priced higher than Will Zalatoris?
Yeah.
Right. Is it a good thing or a bad thing for a player that's priced higher than Jordan Spieth at the Masters?
Yep.
And it's a challenge for me to figure out. So I think what I generally am going to do in this range, if it's aside from Xander and Hideki, is go with Will Zalatoris and Jordan Spieth over Joaquin Neiman. Will Zalatoris has done is finish top 5 in majors. I trust that a whole lot more than 3 wins on LIV. Look at that. You're pulling it up right now. I mean, this is...
The major championship record's kind of a joke. So he's only played 11 of them, and he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 top 8s, and 2 he like had to WD. Actually, he never even played the Masters. He
never hit a shot.
Yeah, withdrew before he played a hole. And then withdrew from the Open when he hurt his back, right?
That's correct.
So 2 of those. So really he's taken 9 to the finish line and he has 6 top 8s.
And this season, there on the major championship type venues, he finished tied 13th, tied second, tied fourth.
Yeah.
Like he's just, I have so much faith that he's going to step up and play great. He's got a sixth and a second here at Augusta National. I'm very fond of that. You know, he should almost be my first choice in this 9K range. I'm just so excited about Hideki and Xander, but Will Zalatoris needs to be played.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's Xander and it's Hideki and it's Neiman and it's Spieth, and you know what I mean? It's just like there's so many great options here. You know, Spieth's putting well again. You know, he's doing Spiethian things, and now he goes to the place that, you know, that stuff works the most. I mean, there's just so much to like in this range. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jordan Spieth's a question mark, you know, and you could argue more of a question mark than Joaquin Neiman for countless reasons. But there was a little bit of pep in his step last week. Like, he was getting frustrated with those situations. And I think that's a good sign. Sometimes I wonder with him, like, what is going through his mind, not just because of what he's talking about, but like, is he trying to win the golf tournament? And I think when he comes here, he really believes that he can. And I think last week we saw a guy that felt like, I'm close enough to go win. And now I'm getting frustrated because I got to hit it on a roof because that's my best play. You know, it felt like there was a little spark in Jordan Spieth last week, which is all you need for a guy coming to his favorite golf course on tour.
I'm looking at his profile and his Masters history, and I still don't understand how there's only one win. Doesn't make sense.
I thought there was two.
I thought there was three or four. Feels that way. We're going to continue this conversation. We're going to go down to that 8K range and beyond. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back, Greg. This is where there's a lot more question marks here, this 8K range for me. Starts with two live golfers, Cameron Smith, Dustin Johnson, 89 and 8,800. Justin Thomas with a new caddy at 8,700. Tony Finau at 86. Cam Young at 85. Then we round out the bottom of this range with Colin Morikawa, Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, Sam Burns, Shane Lowry. Okay. What do you want to do here?
Okay, there are two that I really like.
Tony Finau.
Yes.
And
I've been saying that for a month, so yeah, you know that.
That was pretty fair. Cam Young?
No.
All right, I don't know the other one.
Shane Lowry.
Okay.
Yeah, I love Shane Lowry. Again, I think this is going to get, this is going to become a little, you got to be able to get a little ugly here. I think you got to play a little dirty in this golf tournament. I love what Shane Lowry has done with his iron play. I love his record here at Augusta National. I think his short game is a little underrated. It doesn't always pan out in the stats, but he has a really high quality short game, and he does it at the Masters tournament as well. So I'm very fond of Lowry, and I like that he's at 8,000 flat. That also helps.
His last 4 years, four top 25s, 25th, 21st, third in 2022, and then a T16 last year with some solid metrics along the way. He's been playing a lot of golf. He's been playing worldwide. Yeah, had a good little Florida swing. This makes sense. I get this. Yeah, for sure.
You know I love Finau, so we don't have to spend much oxygen on this. This has been a long call on Tony Finau.
You've been so consistent with this that now I'm starting to love Tony Finau too.
Yeah, there's a lot to love here. I mean, you could be concerned with the putting performance in Houston, but I think he got a taste of victory and give him a little spark. But he's another guy similar to Hideki Matsuyama, where if you struggle with putting, you have a bad short game. But it's not true. Like, Tony Finau has a pretty good short game. I think it's very underrated. I don't think it's as good as Hideki's, but I think it's very underrated. So a lot of boxes are checked with Tony Finau for me. I think there are a couple of, maybe because of Scottie Scheffler's pricing, maybe the two most interesting live guys for me are in this range.
Okay.
There's one other down a little lower, but Cam Smith, do you know why he withdrew from Miami?
Yes. Food poisoning. Illness. He, I think, practiced today. They're not expecting it to impact him.
Okay. So his record here is awesome.
It's awesome.
There have been a lot of the concerns, if you're looking at his recent form, are the concerns that there have always been with Cam Smith.
Yep.
He can't drive the ball, but he figures it out here. He gets it. And I think short game is going to be really important. And he has one of the best short games in the world.
He's been very much the same player, whether it's on the PGA Tour or whether it's on LIV Golf. The metrics show that. Very, very good, above average, and incredibly reliant on his short game.
Yes, but that's okay because it's so good.
Right.
And I think a lot of players are going to be forced to rely on their short game this week, which brings Cam Smith into play. Now, Bryson is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because this price kind of feels reasonable. I hate his record here.
Okay. I said earlier, and it's a very low bar, but I believe this will be, we're going to get the best finish from Bryson he's ever had this year. Now, he has to finish inside the top 20. T21 is his best finish. It was 2016. He was an amateur, right? That was the year he won. So it's been that long. But I just think he's a different golfer now. I think he looks better. The metrics are better. But how much of what he tries to do, which is remove the creativity from the game, does that battle the creativity required here?
Entirely.
Yeah.
You know, the results speak for themselves. I don't think that he cursed himself with the par 67 comment. I think it's really more of a factor of style. There are some shots you got to hit that don't really make sense. Like when you got to hit those high cuts off of hook lies and you got to hit draws off of hanging lies. And
yeah, and doing it with a pitching wedge, that's the length of a 7-iron.
Right. It's just complicating. The short game, you got to have all that touch around the greens and you got to use a sand wedge that's the length of a 7-iron. You know, that's tough. So I think that creates a lot of problems for him. But it does feel like he's out of the spotlight.
Yeah, and playing probably a good thing. He's playing well.
I find him interesting.
Yeah, he is not nearly as big as he used to be. He looks like he's just a fit athlete now. And yeah, a little less oxygen being spent on Bryson is probably good for Bryson.
Yeah, I think so too.
Anybody else in this 8K range? I'm very worried about Colin Morikawa. Don't like what I see at all. That
fading.
Yeah. What do you do with Dustin Johnson?
Look, I don't know. What are we supposed to say with Dustin Johnson? Like, he's just good enough to win. He's good enough to win, but will he? I don't know. It's just like it's so random to me. I don't know. I don't know what his results mean. I don't know if he's been working at it or if he's just good still. I have no clue what to do with him. So I'm going to fade him.
Okay. I'm probably more bullish on DJ than you are then. I think he's...
Do you like... Why? What do you like?
I mean, he won in Las Vegas. He's still driving it well. His major championship record last year was okay. He had a T10 at the US Open. He was like the 36-hole leader at Oak Hill before he faded on the weekend. I thought we saw okay play from DJ in majors, and I think he's playing better now than he was last year.
Okay.
I mean, but I don't know if he just shows up and punts this thing away. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a hard thing with him. Like, I know Brooksy's keep gearing up very intensely. DJ could be, maybe not. You know, so it's just difficult for me to tell. Like, he won in Las Vegas. He's really good. He can win. He could win this week. It's just hard for me to gauge where he is.
The sevens start with Matt Fitzpatrick, Brian Harman, Jason Day. The middle, Corey Connors, Terrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood. The bottom, Russell Henley, Harris English, Steven Yeager, Phil Mickelson. What do you want to do here, Greg?
Let's go, since we're on a live roll here, yep. Let's go right to a live guy I really like in this range.
Okay.
Like I said, again, the top guys can lean on ball striking. Most of the field can't. And that is Patrick Reed. That just speaks Patrick Reed to me.
Oh, Patrick Reed.
He's at 7,400. Looks like he's played fine on LIV. Again, not sure what that means. Maybe that's not very good. I don't know. But his record here is awesome. After his win, he has 3 top 10s and 5 starts.
Yeah,
including in T4 last year.
That's what I think kind of the most telling thing is. You know, post win, now you're a Masters champion and all the hubbubaloo that comes with that. And his best results are like since the win. So that's whether it's the Phil magic, whether it's the Masters like when he gets here, no matter what his form coming in is, he's able to kind of separate.
And he just putts these greens so well. Look what he's done in Matt. These are the most difficult greens to putt in the game. And he's gaining over 3 strokes putting every time. Right. So he gets these greens. And I think that's going to come in handy this week when everybody has a hard time with ball striking. So I'm looking for mutters, especially when we get outside of the blue chip players. And I think Patrick Reed definitely checks that box.
I want to talk about Sahith.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So we talk a lot about, you know, does this golf course, does it reward your strengths? Does it downplay your weaknesses? Does, you know, all that stuff. And I think on paper, this should be one of the better spots for him. And he played well here last year, right? He finished, I think, inside the top
9th.
Yeah, I was going to say inside the top 10. He finished 9th here last year. It was his best major championship performance. And, you know, when I'm just going through my mental Rolodex here, the thoughts and feelings I have about Sahith a year ago, they are so much better now. I think he is such a better golfer now, has the, you know, has the feels going on. I'm ready to roll this guy right back out.
Yeah. And I think it'd be smart too. I mean, you're talking about three top 10 finishes in his last five starts. He missed one cut this year at the Sony Open. He is so much more consistent. His ball striking is so much better than it has been. And he's a phenomenal putter and has a very creative short game. If there's one thing with him, maybe a little wild off the tee at times, you can get away with that here, especially, I mean, that's the kind of thing that feeds his creativity, like you said. So I'm all in on this one.
Okay. Where to next? I've got a couple of guys starred down here. These were just kind of reminders to come back to. Russell Henley's been, you know, not that I'm all in on these guys, but, you know, Henley's been playing great. Adam Scott is someone that I liked a little bit more a couple of weeks ago, but he's having a good 2024. Steven Yeager as well. So those were just, I mean, I don't know if we need to dive into them individually, but those were guys that I just had checked before I wanted to.
Well, I certainly like Henley. So yeah. I'm with you there. I think Russell Henley has just been so consistent and so steady and has a surprisingly good record here. I wouldn't be playing him in an outright or any situation like that, but I definitely wouldn't DraftKings. He has two top four finishes in his last three starts, and including last week at the Valero. He has having like a down year with his irons, which is surprising, but gained seven strokes last week. And he's been putting a whole lot better. This is one of his best putting seasons that he's had on the PGA Tour. So I'm a big fan of him. I mean, three top 15 finishes in his last four Masters. That's pretty darn good.
You want Akshay? You want Phil?
Siwoo.
Let's pull him up. What has Siwoo done at the Masters? That's my question.
I'll tell you.
Okay.
He has a T12 is his best finish. That was back in 2021. He's made, since his first Masters, he's made every cut. Mm-hmm. And and a lot of okay, made the cut, okay finishes. But look what he's doing this year.
Yeah.
He's hitting it so much better. So much better.
He's gained nine strokes from tee to green in two of his last three, and the other one, he gained seven from tee to green at the Players and finished sixth.
And he's 7,100.
Yeah.
Like,
look at the guys, you know, would you rather Siwoo or Harris English? Would you rather Siwoo or Justin Rowe? Like that's pretty.
Ricky Fowler.
Oh God, Ricky.
Are you kidding me?
Ricky is hurting right now.
So I just, there aren't a lot of guys in this. This is priced out really well. And I'm always looking for the, what are you kidding me, price? And there's not many of them in this slate, but there is with Siwoo. So he's like a steal.
Just because we don't get a chance to click Phil's profile very often, here's what it looks like. It's not pretty. 52nd in Hong Kong, 47th in Miami. He did finish sixth in Jeddah, but a lot of red on the profile. Maybe he finds the magic again, Greg, but I don't think I'll be investing.
He could. It's just, it's not for me. It's not for me. What about also at 7,100? I was thinking about this. Steven Yeager. Okay, hear me out. When we talk about the golf courses like the Mexico Open and the Farmers Insurance Open and the Houston Open, there was one very consistent storyline between those three events, and that's that a lot of iron shots came from outside of 175 yards, outside of 200 yards, long. They're open off the tee. You have a lot of room, and you have a lot of long irons in. And in those events, he has two top threes and a win. Now, I know that Augusta National and the Masters has way more nuance than those, but there is a similarity here that I don't think we should ignore.
You know, the other thing is, I was looking this up earlier today. If you just take everybody in this field and look at their last 200 rounds, like 2 years worth, he's like the fourth best around the green player in the field. Very underrated. I don't even want to say underrated, unknown. I think if even myself, a lot of guesses at that, Steven Yeager's name would not have come up until probably golfer 100.
I was looking at it too, Rick, because I was trying to see, okay, well, at Mexico, does he have a good short game week in Mexico because the greens are, you know, flat resort greens? And I'm looking through and he's gaining strokes around the green at the Memorial. He's gaining strokes around the green at some of these really challenging courses. I know that the Florida swing was difficult for him, but I'm willing to write that off. I mean, he won after the Florida swing. So I think there's, for a rookie here, I think he has a good chance of liking this golf course.
Yeah, first timer. He'll be a debutante. The bottom here, $6,000. Greg, again, I'm contractually obligated and we don't get a chance to do it often. So you're going to see Tiger Woods' profile here. And you're going to see one round at Riviera and a WD, or I guess two rounds at Riviera and a WD.
One and a half. He was on the seventh hole in the second round.
And you're not, I'm going to have to, you know, go back and clear some seasons off the filter to get a lot more of these results. He is priced next to Sergio Garcia, JT Post, and Benyon, Keegan Bradley, Nikolai Højgaard, amongst others. I don't have much more.
Well, a good week is making the cut.
Okay. Will he make the cut?
Yes. Wow. I think it will be an amazing make the cut story. But I think that's the win. You know, that's the battle. It's so easy to forget that he played 18 tournaments in 2018 that led to a win at the Tour Championship. He played four tournaments, including a pretty deep run into the match play leading into the 2019 Masters. He had contended in the Open Championship and the PGA in late in that year in 2018, which, by the way, the PGA was still in August. Gives you an idea how long ago that was. He was competitively sharp. He's not competitively sharp now. So it's going to be a willpower make the cut, put on the Superman cape and go make the cut. That's what I think is in the cards for Tiger.
I hope you're right. I would probably take the other side of that, but I hope you're right. And I think that he gets like a stroke and a half per round with brain alone, but that might only take him to like a minus one player or something like
that. Yeah.
I will point this out because I think it is noteworthy. Sergio Garcia has been very good from tee to green, switched putters last week, gained five strokes putting, and finished second, losing in a playoff to Dean Burmeister in Miami. I pointed out because that was the first event that he did change putters. He was using a bigger, bulkier style putter. Now he went to something new for last week. This is a lot of like win and you're in, guys. Jake Knapp, Luke List was his win. He might have been hanging around. Like Emiliano Grillo. What else can we gather from here if we're going to get Scotty into our lineups?
This is a tough range. Okay, there's You got to take some chances here. So Sergio's interesting. He's rates very highly in greens regulation, which is important here. But fairly priced because his record at Augusta isn't as great as you would think for a champion. But that's all we need to say on that. I think he's an option. I think Chris Kirk is an option. He's at 6,900, way up there near the top. He's made three cuts in a row. He rates out pretty well in tee to green stuff because he's been driving it really well. And he's made three out of four cuts here. and all three of them are inside finishes inside the top 30. So not a real high ceiling play, but I like that. I also like going down a little bit farther. I'm interested in Taylor Moore this week.
Yeah, that was the one that I was like, okay, that's a guy who's playing a lot better golf.
Yeah, tied second in Houston. He's made every cut dating back to the Open Championship last year, the time we've been waiting for another major championship to come around. He's just been making cuts, and his short game has been really impressive. And I think he has the power and the distance. He can hit draws. I think Taylor Moore has a lot of potential, a lot of upside here in this tournament.
Denny McCarthy, $6,200. Greg, remember this pricing came out before the absolutely nuts Texas Open that he went on last week. This will be his debut. Do you think that this is good, bad, or indifferent type of a setup for Denny?
Bad.
Okay. Why?
It's beastly. All right. It's big time. And Denny hit it great last week, but he wasn't really hitting it great heading into last week. And I don't know if he found, like, did something change? Did this just come together, or is this who Denny is? Like, has the ability when he's feeling it to stripe it, but generally doesn't. There's a correlation with, like, you would think great putters, you need to be a great putter at Augusta National. And while the greens are extremely difficult to putt, the guys that win here are the great ball strikers that have a good putting week. It's very difficult to lean on your putting at Augusta National. So I'm a reluctant no on Denny.
Anybody else that we have to talk about?
I looked at Lucas Glover because he's been playing better and rates out really well in your tee to green stuff. But he's likely a no for me. I don't think it benefits. I don't think this golf course benefits his strengths.
Yeah, one of the best things he does is like keep it in the fairway and he's not going to be able to separate himself off the tee. He might not be able to separate himself with the putter, depending on what version you get. And that's already two out of four things down.
He popped up in a lot. If you model tee to green stuff, he'll pop up, but he's a no for me. Austin Ekroat pops up a lot. And I probably lean Taylor Moore if I'm down in this range, but what he's done with his iron play over the last, you know, five events has been awesome.
Yeah, he's only four starts removed from a win.
Made three cuts in a row afterwards. There is a concern. I mean, he's 6,300. The concern is his short game and putting. That's very concerning. But it's just hard to ignore this kind of ball striking streak that he's on.
I think that's going to do it, Greg. I think that now is the time where we get to go and tinker and we get to make those lineups and see who we can pair with who and how we can get access to so-and-so. And then we get to sweat it all out over hopefully 4 days, hopefully not just 2 days, but this is the fun part now. We can get to work.
I'm going to be very curious and definitely wait. I mean, I may make some lineups because it's fun, but they're going to be finalized after tee times come out.
Yes, I think that's very, very smart. And remember, there's really no, there's not like an AM, PM wave. Everybody goes off of number one in order. So the tee times will be fairly spread out over the course of the day. So it will create some situations where guys are playing in significantly different conditions.
But there still is a late, early. Yeah. They're not like strict waves where there's a two-hour gap between tee times, but they still will play late and early. Yes. And I think I'm leaning towards late, early having the advantage, even if play gets delayed. Because if it, I think if they play in the morning on Thursday, I think it's brutal. In pouring rain and whipping winds. And if they don't play, I think it might be a slight advantage the other way, but it's small enough where I may take the chance. Cause I think there's a huge edge to be had if they do play Thursday morning.
I will pack a raincoat and maybe a windbreaker.
And maybe buy a Masters umbrella.
Oh, you don't need to twist my arm. And maybe an extra pair of socks. And
not a bad idea.
We'll see how it goes. Greg, thank you very much. I am excited for the coverage that we have coming for the rest of this week. I want to say big thanks to producer Troy, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. And you can find Greg on Twitter at TheRealGFD. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.